Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer, and thanks for listening to this highlight from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you want to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent programs, you can go to our program page at myfaithradio.com.
Now, in your book, A Lessons in Belonging from a Church-Going Commitment Phobe, you write that disillusionment is a good thing. And I'm curious to know, why did you say that? And what role can the church play in helping a person with their disillusionment?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying I really wrote the book for millennials, knowing that folks from a lot of different generations would probably pick it up, and hoping that church leaders of different generations would pick it up and learn a little bit about the kinds of questions millennials are asking and the kinds of hurdles we have before we feel like we can really fully commit to a church. But really, instead of criticizing the church and its leaders for not meeting the needs of our generation, I really wanted to locate the problem and the solution, really, in the psyche of millennials and call us to become agents of our own belonging. And so one of the things I constantly heard my peers say is, I'm just really disillusioned by the church. I'm just really, like, I've seen too much. I was hopeful that I could be a Christian and find a life-giving community, and I just, no matter how hard I've tried, I can't. And so I really wanted to investigate that word, disillusionment, and really say, well, is this a valid excuse for not being a part of Christian community? And the more I looked into the word and read some more of Thomas Merton and Parker Palmer again, I realized that really at its most basic, disillusionment just meant being stripped or freed from our illusions. And wasn't that the whole point of Christianity? Wasn't that the whole point of the cross? Is to say you don't need to rely on anything but Jesus, that Jesus is this ultimate reality, and there are all of these things that can kind of keep us from living in that reality. But that this is why we come into community with one another, in order to be stripped of our illusions and in order to find real abundant life with one another.
Now, I think back to the early church, the Acts 2 church, and the wonderful sense of community that we read about. And I'm just struck by the fact that we're not doing such a good job of that in the modern church. You've been to divinity school, and I'm sure you've looked at that. You've looked at, you know, what was happening in that time of certainly great persecution for those Christian communities scattered throughout the whole Roman Empire and beyond. When you read Acts 2 and you read about the people, you know, breaking bread together and giving their possessions to those who were in need and caring for the widows and orphans, where do we miss the boat? How do we lose that vision for what Christian community is all about?
Well, I think that's a beautiful vision, and I also think we see that there were many, many conflicts as well, even in the early church. I think about the book of Corinthians, where Paul's writing to a house church that's gathering, and they are doing communion in a way that is divisive for people along socioeconomic lines, and Paul has to correct them. And so I think that there has always been tension and conflict among difference in church. I think what we've lost now actually is that healthy tension. And all of us have probably heard the statistics that 90% of all American churches are composed of congregants who are at least 90% racially homogenous. And so that's what we've lost, for in my mind, is that learning how to be together in a community who has as its highest goal something greater than tolerance. Who can actually say we acknowledge these differences and we can still break bread together. That, I think, is the vision that I would like to see more churches work toward, that we're not trying to do lowest common denominator Christianity. We're trying to do table fellowship. We're trying to do sacramental living that takes these really ordinary people and puts them in a room and somehow believes God's presence is there, God's body is housed there.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. For more information about the podcast, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com. Just look for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.